with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually 7 times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally.
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID, that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science.
Of course they are. Gosh, I hope an asteroid hits this planet. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. We've made it through. For the love. All right. So I told you about the stopgap measure that we have to deal with up until December 3rd. So we're going to have that up until the December 3rd. I don't care to talk about it anymore. You guys know that there's just a bunch of crap in this bill. Do you want me to sit here and go through it bit by bit? Because I don't feel like it. I don't. It's trash. Tree equity, blah, 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 a bunch of other stuff. There's some stuff that people have in there. When I was going through, I didn't read all the 2,000 some odd pages. Do you know why? Because I have a life. I work 14 hours a day anyway. I don't want to sit down and read 2,000 some odd pages, nor do you. You got stuff you got to do because we have lobbyists that write our bills and lawmakers have to sit here and deal with them. And they pass it and they don't even actually know what's all in it. So we'll get into some of that. Here's the thing that I'm looking at the most right now, this Friday. You realize, what did I tell you a couple weeks ago? What did I tell you a couple weeks ago? I said that as the seasons shift, you're going to see a change in the hospitalization and transmission rates for coronavirus. Did I not?
Yeah.
Did I not? I did. And guess what we're starting to see now? We're starting to see a major shift in the hospitalization and transmission rates for coronavirus. It is something else. The coronavirus hospitalization rates in North America, northern states, they are increasing. Interesting. Schools have reopened. And as temperatures cool off, people spend more time indoors. The latest figures from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services show that Maine had a 22% increase. Pennsylvania had a 19% increase. North Dakota had an 18% increase. Vermont had a 17% increase. Interesting. Goes on and on and on. Now, a lot of these states have big cities. Some had regulations that were a little bit stricter than others. Some didn't. But here's the thing. The one thing, regardless of who the governor is in that state, regardless of, you know, whoever it is, the one thing that is the same is that they're all in the northern half of the country. Now, the South has already peaked where it concerns the Delta variant. And the numbers have shown for quite, like Texas already kind of went through. It's already on the other side of it. Most southern states, I think the South is pretty much on the other side of it. It's the cases are now receding. The hospitalization rates are decreasing. And I think North Carolina is at 30 for 100,000 people. Florida is the I will say for hospitalization, Florida's at the 44th. They said that yesterday. 41 out of 50. And they're all a lot lower than what they were a month ago. I mean, Florida's down a whole 40% and on 41st out of the state. Now, what we saw were a lot of really ignorant people in the media and a lot of Democrat surrogates gleefully clapping their hands. They were so excited that the Delta variant was sweeping through southern states. I don't know, maybe they looked at it as kind of like a new kind of Passover. Here you were going to have, you know, the Delta variant coming through and getting rid of all those people who wore red hats and voted for Trump. Maybe that's what they thought. I don't know, I'm just speculating, although some of them definitely, their remarks have indicated such without doubt. But the amazing thing about this is that even though states in the southern half of the country generally had lower vaccination rates, and it wasn't just because they were in the southern half of the country, there were a lot of other variables, some of which are very uncomfortable for Democrats, that went into it. I mean, it's kind of funny when you have a huge demographic of people that are very hesitant about government-forced medicines and experimentations and everything else because of what Democrats did with them in Tuskegee. Oh, that's a real thing, and I'm going to bring it up as often as possible because part of the hesitation has to do with racist white Democrats and the stuff that they did back in the day. Everybody's still paying for those white racist Democrats. It's kind of why I really don't have a huge problem when I see Democrat statues that have been erected to their Democrat plantation worship. It's why I don't really get whenever I see them. Democrats trying to erase their existence to accommodate the new woke narrative. I don't know. It's kind of hard to... I'm just going to eat some popcorn and watch. Anyway, my point is that this is turning pretty much like I said it was going to, and I'm not the only person who said that. There's a lot of medical experts that said it. It seemed, maybe I guess it seemed too obvious for some of the branch COVIDians. I guess it seemed a little bit too obvious because, you know, it's hot in the South and people want to be in the AC and they want to not be out in the heat. And so they stay indoors and they stay around people. And this is kind of how it is. Colder weather, people up north are going to go more indoors as in the South. Those temperatures are going to cool. People are going to go more outdoors. I mean, this is kind of like basic stuff. But these rates are changing. And the media suddenly is no longer interested in the hospitalization rates. The media is no longer interested in talking about the transmission rates of coronavirus for southern states. The media is no longer interested. The media, the same media that was saying that Ron DeSantis was killing everybody, the same media that was accusing people in red states of being murderers, the same media that was more than intimating that individuals who had perhaps lived in red states and voted for Trump, that they were killing everyone else in the country. I mean, you remember these headlines. You know how this went. It's just pretty crazy that now here we are. And all of the media is no longer interested in this as the cases go up in the north. What? I was reliably informed that this wasn't going to happen. Interesting, is it not? So we're going to talk a little bit more about that because I'm very, very... very fascinated by this whole thing. And we're going to get into some of, you know, just exactly what some of the numbers are, because I wonder how, my biggest curious point is how in the world the media is going to cover it or what they're going to do when these cases start increasing in the north. I mean, because you can't really blame Ron DeSantis for what's happening in Vermont and Maine. 22% increase in Maine. I mean, Florida's a little bit away from that. You know, it's a little bit away. I'm just interested in seeing what happens, how the media is going to treat that. So we'll talk about that and more. Also on the rundown for today, Biden approval still slumping. The administration's making a second attempt to end that Remain in Mexico policy after they were defeated in court. And in the meantime, Democrats are fighting with each other. They are just done with Kristen Sinema and with Joe Manchin. And like I said, this is a, it is a feature of the system, not a bug. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 16. This is Representative Kahana, a Democrat who's complaining, Representative Kahana, who's complaining about Kristen Sinema. They're mad because Sinema, look, Sinema and Manchin, let me just tell you this, they're representing their constituencies. Anyone who thinks that Joe Manchin ought to go for, ought to go as a progressive, have y'all people ever even paid attention to the voting makeup in West Virginia? Have y'all even paid it? Did y'all even know that Trump took that state by double digits? Did y'all know that Joe Manchin, it is a weird anomaly that this Democrat is in office and was reelected, no less, reelected during the Trump era in West Virginia in a red state that went for Trump by double digits. I mean, when I say red, I mean like OPI candy apple red, ladies. That's what I mean. I mean like Ferrari red. Red, red, red state. Christmas red. Joy to the world red. It's that red. And this man is a Democrat, and he was able to get reelected. Not only that, but I'll be damned, I think Trump did a campaign appearance for him, didn't he? So these people who act like Joe Manchin needs to become a Marxist overnight because that's where the rest of their brain-dead party went, these people do not understand the makeup of the vote of the of voters in that state. We have such electoral ignorance from people. I see the stupidest people get up there where they wear a pound of makeup on TV. They go on these stupid cable news shows where it's the same damn people saying the same damn stuff. Well, I just don't know why Joe Manchin isn't doing this. Democrats are really mad at him. And then they say stuff like this. Same thing. This representative on Kristen Sinema. Listen to this.
You know, Senator Sinema is being treated like a head of state. I've never requested or met with the
Good
president in the
Cry
Oval
harder.
Office. I meet with his staff. She meets with him like every
Cry
other
harder.
Day. And then she has a whole presidential delegation. Ricchetti and Susan Rice all go to her office.
Aww, wow.
And all we want to know is, what does she want? I mean, she's a first-term senator, and she hasn't put out a framework yet.
Well, because actually, she kind of has. It's just you don't like it. That's the thing. She's actually been, instead of going and whining and crying to the press, by the way, what an emasculating hit that he just did. I mean, it actually made my ovaries recoil. It was so emasculating to watch this man, you know, essentially castrate himself on television like this. No, I'm not going to, you know what? I'm taking all comers, and I'm not going to be courteous with my speech because I'm not in a courteous mood. If people want courtesy, then you know what? Maybe perhaps demonstrate it. No, that's what happened. That's when a man castrates himself on television. That's what that man just did in that hit. Whining about Kristen Sinema. She's more popular than me. She's smarter than me with her strategy. She's actually working within the framework of the Senate. So sad. Golly. I think he would be a guy, like if I was at a dinner party, he would be a guy that I wouldn't want to sit next to. Because I'd be afraid that he'd ask to borrow a tampon or something. I don't know. Does that mean to say that you guys are so, you know what I'm just, I just don't have any, for grown men who sit here and whine like this, I can't stand it. You know what, then why don't you get off your duff, dude? Why don't you get off your duff and maybe, I don't know, propose a bill or do so. What's your framework? Bitching's not infrastructure.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Hey, remind me to tell you about that time I met Alice Cooper at Comic-Con. And it was amazing. It's one of the highlights of my life. Yeah, it's a good story. He's good people. He is. I got to tell you how he signed my picture, too. I totally did all that. All right, first up, gunmaker Smith & Wesson is leaving. They've been in Massachusetts for ever, like literally since the 1850s. They've been in New England. So they're moving from Massachusetts to Tennessee. They're joining other firearms manufacturers that are leaving the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast states to go to southern states that have A, lower taxes, and B, aren't banning the products that they're actually making. So the company is going to invest more than $125 million to relocate its headquarters and operations from Springfield, Massachusetts to Blount County, Tennessee, near Knoxville. And they're going to create 750 jobs in the area. Man, they're going to add a lot of revenue to that area. And Massachusetts deserves it. Their lawmakers banned the products that Smith & Wesson were making. So yeah. Later, skaters. Stick with us. If you enjoy wine and you're tired of drinking the boring $10 grocery store Strawberry Hill, you need to try the extreme altitude wine that comes from the mountains of Argentina. Imagine pouring a glass with your dinner that comes directly from the highest vineyards in the entire world. That's 6,000 to 9,000 feet. Any higher, and the grapes wouldn't be able to survive. What does all this mean for the wine? A flavor unlike any wine you've ever tasted. Blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. This stuff packs a punch. And nature does all the work. That means no dyes and no flavor additives. The wine is almost impossible to get in the U.S. The small family producers deep in the Andes Mountains make limited quantity of these bottles. Just getting the wine down from the mountain unbroken and undrank is a challenge. The guys over at Bonner Private Wines have cracked the code to getting these rare wines to Americans. They've cut out the middleman, so you're not going to deal with any big industry markup. Visit conservativewines.com and you'll get top quality extreme altitude wine for about half the price. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. No need for a promo code. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Has my top line has not been. My top line has been 1.5 because I believe in my heart that what we can do and what the needs we have right now and what we can afford to do without basically changing our whole society to an entitlement mentality.
That is not wrong. Right. See, I can agree with Democrats. That's Uncle Joe Manchin right there. I don't agree with this dude on everything. Hold up. First, welcome back. Greetings and salutations. It's Friday. Pull up a chair. We're going to just talk mad trash about people here coming up. DanaLash.com. Go and sign up for that newsletter because I sent out a big thing. I told you I was going to send this out. The big CDC wanting to regulate firearms, all that stuff. Well, I tore them apart. So go read that. You're going to want that info. But Joe Manchin, let me get it straight. I don't agree with this man on everything. I really don't. There's some stuff that he's like, he wants to remove the Trump tax cuts and all that. And that's where I will fist fight him. Like in a fun way. I don't know if there's a fun fist fight way, but oh my gosh, please do not let me forget about the cereal. Okay. Literally put it in Slack. I'm going to forget about it right as I transition to continue talking about this topic. That's my attention span today. Oh guys, you're going to want to hear about all I swear to you, this is going to be your favorite story today. One of them. But like I said, I don't agree with Joe Manchin on everything. He wants to remove the Trump tax cuts. He's in favor of taking more of my money. And I'm not a fan of somebody taking more of my money. I'm not at all. But I will say this. He is not as crazy. He's not. I mean, he's a Democrat. He's not a Marxist. There's a huge difference. There is this. And I've been telling you this for so long. There is this huge policy fight within the Democrat Party right now because you have the Marxists versus, you know, actual traditional, more along the lines of a JFK type Democrat. And they cannot coexist. Have you noticed the coexist stickers they're not even around anymore. That's what progressives were always the stepping stone to Marxism. You went from Democrats who were more classical liberals to progressives. And then now you got full on Marxism. And so this policy battle that they're having, the people that are like Manchin and Sinema, they're the minority in the party, but they happen to come from important states. And because they need all 50 votes because they have 50 in the Senate, they need all 50 votes. They have to have these two. And this is how the system works. Like I said, it's a feature. It's not a bug of the system. Been saying this for a decade. But Joe Manchin he's right about it creates an entitlement society. All of this stuff, the child tax credit. You wouldn't need child tax credits if the government wasn't taking your money. If the government limited itself to what it was allowed to do constitutionally in the enumerated powers, then they wouldn't need to be taking your income. You wouldn't even need a tax credit. You wouldn't have to have the government act like it was giving you a gift by you getting to keep more of your money for your kids. But that's what the government does. They're like, I'm going to allow you to keep this. Look how generous I am, not stealing this much money from you. I'm going to let you keep some of it for your children. And then people act like that's such a great thing. They get crumbs from Uncle Sam. It's so stupid. You know, you wouldn't even have this problem if they weren't taking all your cash in the beginning. Kanye was right when he was talking about that with Sunday service. He was right. Just going to say. So, he's not going to be moved. And he said it is going to create an entitlement society. But Joe Manchin, at some point, you know, he will age out of the system. I don't know how else to say it. Like, he's not going to be in the Senate forever. Kyrsten Sinema, who is really has like a Gen X kind of vibe. Didn't she leave D.C.? I think she left D.C. Something like that. She's just not even playing anymore. And they're so mad at her. But that's just the way it is. They got to work this out. All right, couple of other things. I know that there's like there's all this they had testimony on the abortion stuff. I'm just like, look, the numbers itself. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to play this crazy soundbite and I'm going to transition to a different topic. But I'm going to say this. Look, it's not hard, ladies. If to use this as on-demand, taxpayer-funded birth control is ridiculous. You know how cheap birth control is? You go to a Costco. You can go to a Target. And your workplace covers it. The only thing that it doesn't cover it for recreation. It covers it for health. For those who get it for endometriosis, etc. It's covered for recreational activities. If you're going to be empowered, then pay for it. I'm so tired of hearing broads sit here go, oh, we're so empowered. We're so empowered. But I also need you to literally pay for everything I do in my life. Asking for handouts is not empowerment. Making it to where you don't need them is empowerment. Maybe the government could take less money from people. Maybe, you know, all of these, what was it, under the 4 years ago? There was actually 3.5 years ago, there was this increase in females-owned startups, women starting businesses. Well, guess what? When you start doing capital gains and you start doing these S-corp taxes, et cetera, guess who gets hit? Businesses. A lot of female business owners got hit. Who was it that was locking women, preventing them from returning to their salons and arresting them? State is government. But, you know, empowerment. It will never, ever, ever be lost upon me. The image of the salon owner in downtown Dallas that was arrested because she was trying to open up her salon, Shelley Luther, and pay her employees, or the two nail technicians. One of them actually did eyelashes. The other was a nail tech. And they just were doing a home visit during lockdown, and they ended up getting arrested. We had the governor on about that, and we're asking him about that. Never, ever forget it was the statist government that dragged women to jail. Dragged one of them. Shelley Luther spent Mother's Day in jail. Never forget that. The statist government made a single mom spend Mother's Day in jail away from her kids because she tried to open her salon and pay her bills. So whenever you hear about empowerment and all this stuff, you remember who Uncle Sam arrested for trying to be empowered. No, this whole situation, it's if you feel this strongly for it, then donate, then fundraise for them, then pay for it yourselves. Our tax dollars shouldn't go towards it. This is the stuff that we're talking about. We got stuff to pay with our kids. Listen to this. I don't know who. What were they testifying on? I don't even give a rat's backside about these broads. What were they testifying on? I don't know who this chick is.
This is a big media circus is all it was for.
And all it is a big, yeah, exactly. I don't know who this chick is. I don't care who this chick is. I wouldn't know this chick if I fell over her in my living room. I don't know.
We have several cuts, so which one do you want?
Oh my gosh, not all of them. Just give me the one that's the dumbest. That's Audio Soundbite 6, because this is a refrain from the CDC this past couple of months. Listen.
And I just wanted to acknowledge a lot of people are being left out of this conversation today, because as we know, people get pregnant and not just women.
No,
but I hear
women
people
are the only people who get pregnant. I'm done with
again,
her now. I'm Kane, how do you do a cesarean on a male copulatory organ? Explain this to me.
I don't want to think about
no,
it.
No, she said that people can get pregnant. How does that work?
It doesn't.
You ever seen how I don't want to sit here and talk. I'm going to because this is how stupid it is. Guys, I'm sorry about this. Brace yourselves.
I'm not liking this at all.
You ever get one of them chili dogs from Shake Shack or something?
Yeah, I've had a chili
dog. How does that work?
In the past. What?
You have to split it lengthwise and you put the chili on.
What are you doing this for?
Because she said people can get pregnant. How do you do that if you don't have a birth canal?
That's very true.
I'm just saying.
I've been constipated before.
Where's your egg sack, man? Where's it at?
I wouldn't qualify that.
Can we perfect. Not? I'm just asking, man.
We need
this broad said that people can. And I'm like, where's that science? Where's that at? People can get pregnant?
It's not time to break it.
When's the last time you were pregnant, man?
Shame. I've never been.
Never been?
Never been pregnant.
Never no, been pregnant.
Only, you know, the people that have been pregnant, the ones that I've known that have been pregnant, all women.
Yeah, they got baby caves. Those all are called uteruses.
Oh, wow.
It's a uterus. That's what that's called.
Science.
Women, females, science.
Baby cave?
I did, yeah.
All right.
I have a, I called my game room Troll Cave, so I don't know. I'm just in a cave
the baby
mood.
Caves.
But for real, that's how I'm not going to. I can't take this seriously. It's the dumbest thing ever. The fact that you got somebody sitting there before Congress and saying this stuff. This is insane. And the CDC was saying this too, but science. Look, I am not going to listen to anything that you say about medicine or science if you can't say women. Because people can get pregnant, not just the women. Like people. So what kind of copulatory organs does people have? How does people have a baby?
I mean, science shows us the chromosomes.
Yeah.
Why can't we just go by chromosomes instead of saying, like, people or birthing persons or chest feeding? Like, why do we have to do any of that? It's just chromosomes. You have chromosomes. That means you are able to or not able to.
I had some snaggletooth dude call me a TERF yesterday. Did you know that?
Say, you had a snaggletooth what?
Some snaggletooth dude called me a TERF yesterday.
A TERF. So
yeah. Some chauvinist. He needed braces.
Exclusionary.
Yeah.
What is that? Trans?
Trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Look, I don't care what you want to identify as. I don't even care if you do your makeup bad. But when you try to dictate my speech, pun intended, then we're going to have major problems. That's when, you know, you might reach out to correct me, but you will pull back a stump. I'm just going to let you
throw
know.
Hands like cereal?
Oh, my gosh. Look at you trying to move me onto the subject.
Thank
just
you.
Makes me want to stay here longer. I feel like we got to simmer on this subject more.
Don't rebel against that. Don't
gotta
rebel.
Resist. No. Resist.
Don't resist.
But still. That's yeah. It's all about science. Science. All right, so we got more to come, including, yeah, I am going to talk about the cereal thing. Also, I was reading this piece. Hold up, I got a minute. I'm going to talk about the cereal thing next. I was reading this piece by what's her face? I can't remember her name. She's really pushing this book. Politico ran an excerpt of it. And I was reading it, and it was really, Stephanie Grisham. And she was the press secretary or press person for Trump at one point. She really hates Jared and Ivanka. I don't know. I don't know them. I don't know Jared and Ivanka. I don't know if they're hateable or not. But I look at it like this. Every single administration has this catty nonsense. I mean, it was really bad during Obama-Biden. I mean, Vince Foster ended up dead. I mean, let's just look. We've always had this whole thing with infighting in different administrations. The problem is that now we live in a society where if you snitch on people that the legacy media and the Marxist in our culture hate, then you're backpatted. And a lot of people are clout chasing because they think, oh, well, if I just talk bad about Trump, maybe I'll get that MSNBC contributorship. And that's really what this book is, I think, for Grisham. I really don't care. Even if Jared and Ivanka were totally nasty, I always believe in karma, first off, because it will get you. Number one. But number two, what is the purpose of airing out that kind of, because this is not anything significant. I read this piece at Politico. It was an excerpt from one of Grisham's chapters. I was reading this. What significance does this have in anything? It's not anything significant.
No, not at all.
And she was like, well, Jared Kushner was the one who was calling all policy. Look, I know personally and have known some of the people that were in the Trump administration advising him for years. And I like all these people, but all these people are alphas. There is no way in hell, I can assure you that anybody would sit back and just let that guy, son-in-law or not, be the only person who's going to be advising the president. Because they're, for the simple fact, first off, and this is true in Democrat and Republican, when you get to this level, You are very aggressive. That's how you get to this level. There's no way you're going to sit back and just be like, well, he's the son-in-law. So I don't believe any. I don't believe that. I think she's exaggerating it purposely for this book. But it's such a nothing burger. I read it like, oh, man, is there going to be dirt here? And there wasn't. I just think it's tacky to kiss and tell, basically. And to do so because you feel like you were spurned and excluded after you left. And she, it just sounds petty and jealous. I don't even know this chick, but I'm like, she seems like the kind of girl that would like talk about you the moment that you got up from the table to go to the bathroom.
When I see these glowing puff pieces in like New York Times or The Guardian or Washington Post on this girl, you already know. You already know who she is.
Oh, yeah. She's like the, I don't know, she comes across as the type of chick who doesn't have girlfriends. That's just me. I'm just looking at it like, Anyway, and the fact that you just write a book, because, and the reason I asked what purpose does it serve, I know we got to get going. Some of this stuff actually can affect national security. If you try to make a nothing burger out to make it seem like the United States was at some point vulnerable because of the megalomania of the president or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It just, to me, it seems like it serves them more than it serves the country. This isn't just for, this was a book about revenge. This wasn't a book about anything other than that. And they're a dime a dozen in D.C., no matter the party. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
So, what do you guys like to eat for breakfast?
I like just a cup of coffee, honestly.
Yeah, just a cup of coffee. There you go. There you go. It's black coffee, black and bitter like my heart. It's nice. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. I ask this because if any of you out there are cereal people, I mean, I understand, you know, having, you know, being purposeful with your products. However, this is a little silly, but, you know, good for the capitalists. This seems like Count Chocula without marshmallows. So are you guys ready for some woke cereal? Proud Puffs. It's a chocolate flavored vegan cereal. Well, I hate it already. Formed though, it's in the formed in the shape of a black fist. So catch these hands. It's a fist full of fiber in every bite. So it was a dude who was like, how about we eat some cereal fists? And then there we are.
They lost me at vegan.
Yeah, it's a vegan fist. It's made of tofu or something. I don't know. No, but it's Proud Puffs. It's chocolate flavored vegan cereal. And it's in the shape of a black fist. It is cereal for the culture. Because that's tasty. I can't believe that they did not do like fistful of fiber or catch these hands or something. I don't know. Like, can white people eat it? I don't know. I mean, if it's good, I'll eat it. I don't care. I like chocolate-flavored cereal. We all know Count Chocula is not real chocolate, right? We all know this?
Right.
It's fake chocolate.
So the fact that it's vegan, is it keto? Is it because
I don't
have
know.
The keto
Did you think I got that far into it? I didn't read the back of the box. It says Proud Puffs, and then it has people's faces on the cover, and then it's a bunch of fists. And I just, like, what's the quality control going to be, like, on the definition of the fist? Because this could go sideways a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like sometimes, like with Count Chocula, it was supposed to look like the count, and it does not. It looks like a cow pat. It looks like a cow pie. So I'm kind of curious. So Proud Puffs. So get a fistful of fiber Catch these hands. Woo! Have a bowl of fists. There's just so many things you can do with this. We got a lot more in store. We're also going to talk to the parents of that Marine in the brig right now for criticizing the generals. If you enjoy wine and you're tired of drinking the boring $10 grocery store Strawberry Hill, you need to try the extreme altitude wine that comes from the mountains of Argentina. Imagine pouring a glass with your dinner that comes directly from the highest vineyards in the entire world. That's 6,000 to 9,000 feet, any higher, and the grapes wouldn't be able to survive. What does all this mean for the wine? A flavor unlike any wine you've ever tasted. Blackberry, leather, smoke, and a little dark cherry. This stuff packs a punch. And nature does all the work. That means no dyes and no flavor additives. The wine is almost impossible to get in the U.S. The small family producers deep in the Andes Mountains make limited quantity of these bottles. Just getting the wine down from the mountain unbroken and undrank is a challenge. The guys over at Bonner Private Wines have cracked the code to getting these rare wines to Americans. They've cut out the middleman, so you're not going to deal with any big industry markup. Visit conservativewines.com and you'll get top quality extreme altitude wine for about half the price. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. No need for a promo code. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
This is what happens when you have a president and a treasury secretary who are on a mission from God to please pink-haired wokers who carry around Ziploc bags of kale. This is what happens when you have a president and a secretary who want to tax, spend, and regulate America into neo-socialism.
Now, there's nothing wrong. I'll just say this. I love him. Nothing wrong with pink-haired people. But if you're a pink-haired woker, which amazingly sounds like a really cool punk band name, but like a horrible punk band, like Green Day. We're pop punk and we write the same song over and over. I mean, it's like really get mad. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Make sure you go sign up for that newsletter, Substack. Go to Daniel. I'm going to make it easier where it won't say subscribe and it'll say, here's the newsletter here. Click it. That'll be the whole link up there. Anyway, and you can download the Odyssey app to listen to the show you're currently listening to already right now. Every day, 12 to 3 Eastern, 11 to 2 Central. It's Friday. I wanted to share with you this breakthrough study, guys. Major study. Majorly big study. This is really going to blow your mind. And this is so important that we share. This is the stuff that you need to know. So while you're listening, big study out, big time study. The big time study, folks, says. You all right? You okay? What? You all right?
I just got a feeling when you set it up like that.
Well, I'm gonna do what?
What we're about to get.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a bit. Well, this is a major study. It's like Fragile. It's a major study. So it's UK Sport. And they said that there should be the creation of universal categories because, ladies and gents, now this, please, like, steady yourselves. Like I said, it's shocking big study. It's the study concludes that men who identify as women and compete as women retain advantages competing in a female sport. I just don't know, man. It recommends that individual sports find creative ways to ensure that grown-up adult people are not left out. They said that transgender athletes have an unfair advantage in female sports, and a new universal category should be introduced for them. It's a major review published in Duh, No Blank Sherlock, Science Journal.
Is that the name of it?
No. Oh. No, it's not. That's what I would name it. The report from Sports Council's Equality Group, ladies and gentlemen, concluded that trans women, which are men who identify as women and put trans in front of it, have an advantage in sports, even when testosterone levels are reduced. And as a result, Kane, you will be happy to know that they say that to protect the female sport, while ensuring men who identify as women can participate, they suggest a new universal or open category. It is the Sports Council's Equality Group. They handle UK Sports, Sport England, Sport Wales, Sport Scotland, Sport Northern Ireland, etc. They said that they all ruled that testosterone suppression does not take away the physical advantages of men who identify as women in the female sport. And as a result, it's not possible to guarantee safety and competitive fairness in some sports. Again, this was published in Sherlock magazine. Sorry. The review comes after Laurel Hubbard, a male who identifies as a female, competed and took a woman's spot on the New Zealand Olympic weightlifting team. And she actually had really, she took the spot of a minority female. So it is a universal category that they are suggesting. Huh. So it's today and duh.
But we were told by Olympic committees and large sports organization committees.
Progressive men were telling us, look, if we just identify as women. By the way, I find that also there's an unspoken sexism in there. Because progressive men are going, look, we're just going to weaken ourselves so that we can be on your level. Look, that's sexist, dude. This is, now, wait, let me, this is a highlight of the research. And it reads, quote, and because it's British, let me give it its due. It reads, quote, There appears to be a retention of physical capacity in transgender people who suppress testosterone from male levels. Such physical differences will also impact on safety parameters in sports which are combat, collision, or contact in nature. End quote. Wow. You know what this means, right? Nature's a turf. Nature's a big, giant turf.
I hope they didn't spend a lot of money on that study.
Oh, it's the British. I don't care.
I'm just hoping for their sake.
Yeah, you know what it means? Nature's a turf. I find that word hysterical. It's like the lawn people, but with an E. Like the would you like some turf, fake lawn? We're not talking about no. Nature's a turf. That's it. So they said that the adult male athletes, guys, get this, they actually have a measurable performance advantage over female competitors in swimming, running events, jumping events, basically all the events. Do you guys know that? They do not when it comes to having babies, though. This is crazy. I cannot even believe this. And the other thing is now, here's another, guys, I know, because science. I can't believe it. This is like a shocking thing. Excuse me. Here is another key point here. Quote, if you've been through male puberty, you're going to be taller and have a bigger heart and lungs. End quote. They said that the advantage can go up to 30% in some sports. Empirical evidence and science supports that. There you go. Quote, a trans woman challenges the binary categories that sport operates. Before they undergo any testosterone suppressive treatment, a trans woman is effectively a biological male with XY chromosomes, testes, male high levels of testosterone, who as a result has all the physical advantages that any man has over a woman, and some physical advantages that result from high levels of testosterone while growing up will endure. If you've been through male puberty, then you're going to have height advantages, a bigger heart, bigger lungs, and that will not be affected by testosterone suppression. End quote.
Thank you.
Science. So nature's a big fat turf. Well, they're going to protest nature. Go out and protest the trees or something. Oh, wait, no, we got tree equity.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so go out and protest the rocks. Nature, you're a turf. Right? So we have a couple of other things here that I had to share that with you because that was a very, I told you, it was a very important study, right? Super important. So if you get my newsletter, I wrote about that. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but we also talked about it. I talked about it in the newsletter. The CDC wants to regulate guns like they did leasing agreements. They declared gun violence a public health emergency because it's for the strict purpose of regulating firearm ownership. And so the CDC director, while they've talked about this for a long time, the CDC director told CNN last month that it was pedal to the metal time and they want to do something, and that something includes basically just funding more pro-gun control studies. Now, here's what's interesting. Democrats always claim that the CDC was barred from research of gun violence by pro-Second Amendment groups. In fact, NPR says, quote, for decades, the gun lobby and GOP allies have effectively blocked federal funding for firearm research. That's false. That is so easily proven to be false. It's a total lie. The CDC was never barred from researching gun violence. In fact, and I mentioned this yesterday, and in 1996, there was a provision that was slipped into an omnibus bill, and it's called the Dickey Amendment. And it specifically and very explicitly, only singularly, bars the use of taxpayer dollars to advocate for or against gun control. And the language, as I said, is precise, and it reads, quote, none of the funds may have made available for injury prevention and control at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention may be used to advocate or promote gun control. And you can't, excuse me, you can't promote firearm ownership or not firearm ownership. The problem is that the left wanted to politicize science and research using our tax dollars. And when they were prohibited from doing so, they had a big giant tantrum, and then they outright lied and claimed that they were entirely barred from researching anything related to firearms. But the thing is, the CDC could have studied. They could have had studies. They could have looked at the benefits of the family unit in curtailing juvenile crime, the mental health value of having fathers in the home, but they didn't. They, in fact, chose not to conduct any firearm-related studies, and they actually hid their own research so as to promote gun control with pro-gun control studies. They actually destroyed their own gun control narrative twice. First time was in the 90s when they conducted a survey. They did some research. They found that lawful defensive gun usage vastly outmeasures criminal usage. In fact, their conclusion was, quote, almost all national survey estimates indicate that defensive gun uses by victims are at least as common as offensive uses by criminals, with estimates of annual uses ranging from about 500,000 to more than 3 million in the context of about 300,000 violent crimes involving firearms in 2008. That was one. They hid some results in the 90s. This one that was commissioned by Barack Obama, they hid, and they didn't report their findings because it contradicted their support for gun control. Case in point, one of the heads of the National Center for Injury Prevention, which is a division of the CDC, said that, quote, we need to revolutionize the way we look at guns, like what we did with cigarettes. It used to be that smoking was a glamorous symbol, cool, sexy, and macho. Now it is dirty, deadly, and banned, end quote. The CDC had also inflated firearm fatality numbers, and they dragged their feet about it for 2 years before they finally changed it. They misrepresented the child fatality COVID rate, and Wall Street Journal and Johns Hopkins had to publicly vet and correct their figures. Gun violence is not a health issue. It's a criminal issue. This is about repeat offenders driving homicide rates with illegally possessed firearms that they use in commission of other crimes. And so the CDC, they're following politics, not science. And they're trying to use federal authority to falsely present a medical need in the context of an emergency to restrict firearm ownership. And they're using this corrupt definition of public health threat to do it. Just like how now they're saying pregnant people instead of women. This is about politics and not science. They're nothing more. I wrote last night, I said they're nothing more than a bunch of flat earthing witch doctors. And that's true. They are. They need to be defunded. We got a lot more on the way, folks. Coming up, we're going to speak to Stu Scheller Sr. and Kathy Scheller. Their son is currently in prison. He's in the brig because he disagreed publicly with the military leaders that got 13 service members killed. We're going to talk with them here coming up because they are pushing to get him released. so you don't want to miss.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So, I keep seeing, I thought this headline was funny from Twitchy. It says, there's so much hate crime in America that people keep having to fake hate crimes over and over again. And so there was another one. Do you remember, what was it? She's like the public official. There was a public official who said that she had received somebody had sent her like a death threat in the mail because she was like pro mask mandate, and it turned out she sent it to herself. Call was coming from inside the house, and because she involved the postal service, it's actually technically now you have to, it's a felony statute. So interesting. That's crazy. You could be charged the felony for using the post office to threaten yourself. Great job, genius. So apparently it also happened again because there was a student who wrote an N-word at a school, and they staged a walkout, and it was in Missouri. And this now the real story's out. It came out that this was Parkway Central High School in Missouri. A black student scrawled racist graffiti featuring the N-word that led to walkouts and protests at Parkway Central High School, said school officials. There was all kinds of discussion about wokery and CRT and everything else, and the investigation determined that it was actually a black student that wrote it. And they said that, I mean, everybody had to run in front of the media and, you know, have their mea culpas. And as it turned out, and there was one, a 17-year-old senior, Brittany Jackson, who participated in the rally, said to the daily newspaper there that it was embarrassing to hear that the slurs were actually written by a black student. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That's insane. So, and this has happened before. Socialism. Now over 75% of Venezuelans live in extreme poverty. It is the National Survey of Living Conditions, and what they discovered, it was conducted by Andre Bello Catholic University. They discovered that 67.7% of Venezuelan residents live in extreme poverty, and 94.5% of the population lives in poverty. That's what socialism does. Up next, the parents of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, incarcerated by USMC for criticizing the generals in Afghanistan, join us. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable. All Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at DanaLash.com.
What I'll say is, and from my position, potentially all those people did die in vain if we don't have senior leaders that own up and raise their hand and say, we did not do this well in the end. Without that, we just keep repeating the same mistakes, this amalgamation of the economic / corporate / political / higher military ranks are not holding up their end of the bargain. I want to say this very strongly. I have been fighting for 17 years. I am willing to throw it all away to say to my senior leaders, I demand accountability.
And thankfully someone is. Someone is doing that. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. And while we're waiting for hopefully we can have Stu Scheller and Kathy Scheller join us. While we're waiting for them, the audio that you just heard, That was of their son, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. Now, he's been in the brig. He's been incarcerated by USMC for what? Since September 27th. Because he had publicly criticized military leadership and their disastrous handling of the Afghanistan withdrawal. Now, I'll have you know that what Scheller has done is not unlike any criticism that I have heard from any number of veterans. Many of our veteran friends, some of our very close friends and family, a lot of the special ops veterans that we know, they are super critical of the military leadership's handling, specifically when it concerns CENTCOM, where it concerns General McKenzie, where it concerns Lloyd Austin, where it concerns Mark Milley, not just their handling of it, but their seemingly refusal to have challenged the President of the United States when he was modifying the dates to withdraw. Now, the specific penalty that Scheller is in the brig for is because he criticized military leadership publicly and on social media. And I understand people bringing that up and they say, oh, it was a violation of his oath. However, I have to add, wouldn't recklessness and complete disregard of process and intelligence that leads to the death of 13 service members, would that also not be a violation of duty? I'm just asking, and it seems to be that that's a more significant one. I mean, I understand the people who say, oh, you can't criticize chain of command, et cetera, et cetera. However, at what point do you say, you know what, that line needs to be crossed? And I have to say this, he's Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, from what I understand. I mean, he has people underneath him that he swore an oath in his duty. He's responsible for protecting them, and he also has to make sure that they come back alive. And when you have military leadership who take reckless decisions and make it hard for him to perform his duty, where do you go from here? Joining us right now are the parents of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, and they have a statement. I'm going to read it here, too. Stu Scheller Sr. and Kathy Scheller, both of you, welcome. Welcome to the program. And I have to say, first off, thank you for speaking out. Thank your family for what you're doing. And God bless your son for his duty and his service to this country and for his voice. I know it's not easy. I know it's hard as parents watching this. But sometimes, if not us, who? And if not now, then when? Thank you so much. And let me ask you, how are you both holding up? How are you all?
Well, we just heard that the military on Tuesday was going to work with our son and try to come up with an arrangement.
A settlement, separation.
And as of today, they decided to bring down the full force of the military to try to never let him out.
We just heard this from representative from Texas, Louie Gohmert. So the roller coaster continues. Last night, we were encouraged. We told Americans that we were encouraged, but to keep up the pressure on their congressman and keep praying. But just now I got off the phone with Representative Louie Gohmert, who said that there has been in the last day or the last hours a change of heart from the Secretary of Navy and the generals of the Marine Corps that they want to crush our son.
Wow. Wow.
And they do not have the same rules in the military court as we right. do in regular court. They do not have to let us see him. They do not have to let us speak to him. They do not have to do regular due process.
They do not have to let him bring in character witnesses. The judge, the general of Camp Lejeune presides over the judge. The judge chooses the jury.
And he's not to have witnesses.
It needs reform, and I'm not an expert on the military judicial system. I'm an expert on my son.
He did a Facebook post.
Yeah.
He didn't kill anyone.
He didn't sexually molest anyone.
And that's been one of the biggest points. with this. And what you just told me astounds me. We're talking to Stu Scheller Sr. and Kathy Scheller, parents of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who is in the brig, because he spoke out and criticized the military leadership and the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal that led to the deaths of 13 servicemen. And that what you just told me, that they're going to bring down the full force on him, that seems just the most, like, the most horrible strategy possible, because it's why would they not see the value in a lighter penalty as opposed to, because they'll, this, I mean, honestly, this makes his cause even, it makes him a martyr with this. And they criticism was correct.
They need a scapegoat for their obvious mistakes. They're arrogant, they're mean, they play nasty, and it's an outrage. And
they want to make sure that no other military person speaks out by making an example of our son. That's the core of it.
So at the end of the day, we have to ask. So we have gained traction in the last 5 days since we've asked Americans to find their voice and step up. It's Friday. I'm asking Americans, this could be an ultra marathon. Please continue. Contact your Congress people. Continue the pressure. It's not just for Stuart. It's for America. It's for you. It's for your family. We're fighting for liberty and justice all.
Yes. And this is, and I can tell, you know, having this, I mean, you're justifiably and understandably upset about all of this, talking to the Schellers, the parents of Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. Talk to me a little bit about your son. He was not at the very top, but he was in the top in terms of leadership, and he had people he was responsible for, people who he wanted to make sure got home alive. How did he feel about that? What has he said to you about that responsibility?
He had many deployments, and his deployments were not on a base. They were in the sand. They were out doing missions. He was leading his men and women, I think mainly men. Had many different responsibilities. He's a good person, and he
believes in America. He believes in the Constitution. He did this to preserve and protect his men and women that are currently serving and the ones that are veterans. He is still on the battlefield. He is still fighting
in a different way.
Fight for him, and we have to fight for justice. We have to fight for all of those men and women that wore that uniform proudly. And we're leaving tomorrow morning to head to North Carolina, and we do not want any kind of rioting. We want peacefulness, but we want people to write their congressperson and their representative, and we would like people to show up at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and let them just see how many people are saying, let him go.
His legal counsel has asked for an open hearing. You would think that would be fair, or at least to have his parents at his trial. Representative Louis Gohmert, who has stepped up in this process the last few days, I was just on the phone with him, and he has committed to try to get Kathy and I into the proceedings. Yes. I hope he's successful. We'd like to see our son.
And we do not want anyone. We do not want rioting. We do not want violence. We want a peace, Martin Luther King style, peaceful love. We just want them to see our show of force.
Now, your son, we're talking to the Schellers, their son, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who is in the brig. He's been incarcerated by USMC. You released a statement saying that the command seems to be concerned, but they don't have the tools to support him at this time. Incarceration appears to be their only solution. And you said in 30 days, our son went from being an exemplary Marine, handpicked by the Corps and placed in a highly prestigious position as the commander of the Advanced Infantry Training Battalion, to a Marine who is now incarcerated for demanding accountability and integrity from military leadership. You clearly see that there's a double standard in how your son is treated and military leadership, especially in the wake of the 13 service members' deaths.
Yes.
No question.
Hypocrisy.
We don't just see it. We have received tens of thousands of emails, text messages, phone calls. America sees it.
And those same generals that did that are in charge of our son's life.
That's
keep that in mind.
Yes.
How would you feel if that was your son, America? He is your son. He is your patriot. He is your hero. Stand up for him, please.
And I love your remark there. How would you feel if that's your son? He is your son. And all of these servicemen and women, it's everyone's son. It's everyone's daughter. It's everyone's father, mother, sister, brother. And this is, did you ever think, I mean, when this all first happened, and I know it's been a roller coaster for you all, and God love you all for speaking out and being such advocates, but your parents, that's what you do. You're advocates, and not just for your son, but also for what he is advocating for as well. When all of this first began, did you think that there could be the possibility that they would just come at him with the full force of military jurisprudence? I mean, what were your thoughts?
You know, we aren't military. I mean, he's in the military. We have learned from the military, from him, as the ranks have gone on. We have supported him and his family throughout all of their deployments.
We were worried for him. We were scared. We saw him throw everything away to stand on principle.
We thought he would lose his retirement. We thought he would lose his benefits and be discharged.
And as a parent, we didn't want to see that.
Right.
But until we got a phone call Monday morning, his only contact with us, and it was a 2-minute phone call, and he had two comments. One, call my attorney. And we did. And his second was, tell everyone. So
I think you met everyone in our family, but I went a little further than that.
We went a little further. We decided that America and our allies around the world needed to see this and understand it. And so there will be lessons learned, and this will be talked about for decades
but
to come.
But that's not helping us.
But that's not helping us today.
Son, his family, it's not helping.
So people can write their elected officials. And I know that you're also working with the Pipe Hitters Foundation as well. Write or call your elected officials. And the Pipe Hitters Foundation, I know that unfortunately, it's a legal fight that will be expensive. This is going to be expensive.
Very.
And I will tell you, I want to remind Americans, because, you know, I was going on with my life. I tend to not engage with politics, right? I'm now in it, and I'm reminded that we all have a chance to vote in 2022. So contact your congressman. And this is no time for fence sitting. Are you for Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, or are you not? We need to know, because if you're not, we will vote our conscience in 2022. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. This is a travesty.
It's an injustice.
Reform will need to be made in the future. Right now, we're focused on our son.
And your son seems to be the avatar, so to speak, for demanding military accountability in the upper echelon in leadership. Because as I'm sure you've heard it from so many people, including some pretty well-known veterans who maybe aren't as public about it, but they have definitely said stuff in their public circles, very critical of military leadership with this. And also with the leadership, whether it's Lloyd Austin or Mark Milley or McKenzie at CENTCOM, their refusal to push back on the president, especially when all of this led up to the disaster and the fatalities that we saw in Afghanistan. Your son is now kind of the poster American for that. He really is. He is the poster serviceman for that.
And I want to remind America, our president could stop this right now.
Has he reached out to you? Have you heard from anyone in the White House?
No. And our president, with one word, could end this.
Have you heard from anyone, not to interrupt you, I'm so sorry. Have you heard from anyone at CENTCOM or any military leadership above your son?
We have had no communication with anyone from the Marines. No one has placed a call to
us. Early on, we heard from this commanding officer and pretty much was told, we got this. He's our Marine.
Stand back, parents.
Just like they told those 13 servicemen and women that were there in Kabul. I want to direct everyone to the website to make sure that they can go. It's the Pipe Hitter Foundation. It's donorbox.org, and you can look for Lieutenant Colonel Scheller up there, and we'll make sure that y'all get that information out as well. Stu Sr. and Kathy Scheller, God bless you both. And I can read it on your faces. I can hear it in your voice. I know how this is really putting you through it. But I can also see that you're such strong, resilient folks, and you've raised such a great son. And you got a lot of Americans that have your six as well. A lot of people have your six.
We are proud of our son. We are proud of America. And we just want to say thank you.
Of course. Well, thank you. We owe you a debt of gratitude. Thank you. And we're going to keep in touch with you. Please keep us updated about this. And we're going to watch as well and do what we can. God bless you both. We're all in it together. Thank you so much. That's the Scheller family. And I'll make sure that you all have that website where you can go. The Pipe Hitters Foundation, great organization. We're going to have more on this. And you can hear it in their voices, and you can see the pain on their faces. And I'm telling you, as a parent, I'm a boy mom. I mean, obviously, I think Lieutenant Colonel Scheller's might be a little older than me, but I'm still like, he's one of ours anyway. I don't care. It's heart-wrenching. And that's the question, that accountability. Do we only hold subordinates accountable? Or what about our leaders? Is leadership ever accountable? We're going to talk more about this. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love, and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, folks. So this Florida woman, I have never heard of this. She was charged with a felonious grits attack. Ladies and gentlemen, the smoking gun has the story. A Florida woman is behind bars because she struck her boyfriend in his head with a saucepan that, quote, contained freshly cooked grits, end quote. How are you going to do grits like that? I love grits. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Cheesy grits? Oh, my gosh. Now I want some. They're so good. Seriously, is there anything that's a better snack? No. Doris Johnson, 49, and the victim were arguing when she struck the man with a metal saucepan inside the couple's St. Petersburg residence. Contained within this pan was hot grits. It spilled onto the victim, caused a burn on his left arm. And the victim required stitches because she beat him with that pan full of grits. That's why. She's in jail, and she does not look like she is remorseful at all. I desperately want to know what they were. Apparently, she beat him before. Hey, look, that is true. Women can be domestic abusers. Stick with us.
After those dramatic scenes at that crowded migrant camp under a border bridge in Del Rio, tonight, U.S. officials telling NBC News the Biden administration is preparing for an even more massive surge in October. Up to 400,000 migrants crossing the border, which would be a record, nearly doubling the stunning numbers we've seen the last 2 months, which were a 21-year high.
Good God. Woo. Well, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen with that?
I was told the borders were closed and secure.
I was reliably told that the borders were closed. Welcome back to the show. Greetings and salutations, friends. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you. And I have a couple of different... Oh, my gosh. I'm just reading. So, can I just say, I have a million places I want to go. First, let me try to stay on topic here. I'm going to try to stay on topic. First off, there is, what did they say? How many is in this group that's coming up from?
400,000. Oh,
no.
They just said 400,000 next month.
No.
They expect the number in October
to be 400,000. I don't know how that is. That's insane. So what are Mayorkas and where's the border czar? Hell, do we have a Gandalf? Just send somebody in a Gandalf. Like, there shall not pass.
Mayorkas keeps saying, we have a strategy, and we're implementing that strategy.
What's the strategy?
Every time he gets in front of Congress.
Chimney Christmas. What's the strategy? There's no strategy. Boy, that's, well, I guess there's no pandemic anymore, right? Oh. I know. We're going to keep an eye on that because that's, they're working their way. I have a couple of actual headlines about that. They're working their way up. And where I think what the Panama's government actually said that they had warned repeatedly. They had warned repeatedly the administration that, hey, there's people coming up to your border. Hey. And apparently the Biden administration didn't do anything. And now new DHS rules are going to cut back on arrest and deportation of people who illegally enter. But hey, you try that, you're going to get in trouble. It's a 7-page memo from Alejandro Mayorkas. He says that we will use our discretion and focus our enforcement resources in a more targeted way. And you know now also that they're demanding border agents all get vaccinated. Yeah. or they get suspended. Yeah. Without pay, apparently, or get fired. Because, you know, we just have a plethora of Border Patrol agents. Now they're concerned about the agents. That's not about their health. They're concerned about their health now, really? No. The memo that, by the way, that DHS Mayorkas had sent out, crazy, it says that there will be, quote unquote, mitigating factors that argue against deporting someone who illegally enters and who had committed a crime prior. What? No, I'm literally looking at it. I'm actually looking at a PDF, including advanced or tender age, lengthy presence in the United States. What? Tender age. Did Epstein write that? Yeah, good heavens. Here's the thing. The basis of the law, they go, well, whether a non-citizen poses a current threat to public safety is not to be determined according to bright lines or categories. I don't even know what does that garbage mean? Bright lines and categories. What does that garbage mean? No, it's look, a republic is only as strong as the consistency with which it follows the law it establishes. And this is not it. If I would get in trouble for you, you realize that you can get in trouble. People have been getting in trouble, for instance, if they try to come back in the United States and they present a fraudulent vax pass or proof of negative test. You can get in trouble. I think it's a misdemeanor. But you can get in trouble for that. Well, and actually, that might be a felony if it's considered a federal document and you're forging a federal document. But this is okay. Now, note that none of those tender mercies are going to be applied to your case. Should you say you go to Mexico and then maybe you test positive and you decide to pay somebody to take a test, because those are businesses booming down there. That's happening. Have you guys read about that? Oh, my gosh. It's apparently super easy to get really good fake negative tests and vax passes in Mexico. No joke. Dude, I saw some. I shouldn't say I saw it on Reddit. Saw it on the internet. And honestly, you can't even tell the difference. I mean, I'm sure there's some bad ones out there. But I mean, hey, I don't know. But if they get in trouble for that, if they get caught with that, they get in trouble. But if you're just like scampering around the border and you're like, hey, I'm coming in from Chile, I want asylum, then it's a whole other thing. Then it's allowable. Then it's okay for some reason. It's like, where's the consistency? Where is that consistency? Can I make a point about Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yes.
Okay, so Dog the Bounty Hunter is looking, I'm not following that Brian Laundrie case too good, except if there's a chase, then I'm all in on it. You throw a car chase in there, dude, I'm your number one fan. Like, I love, now my favorite show used to be Cops back in the day. I mean, when I hear that, I heard a Fox Nation or whatever promo for it. I almost fell out of my seat at the dinner table. I was like, what? Where is that music coming from? Where is it? Can I just tell you, sidebar, y'all know my favorite episode of Cops, right? Have I told you this before? It's a Florida one. Yeah. And the cops were called because two women were slap fighting in the street. I swear to you. They show up. One woman's got a dirty wife beater on. Another woman had like dirt. She had a darker shirt on, had dirt all over her shirt. They had been rolling around. They were slap fighting. And apparently one of the women had called 911. And the police show up and they're like, wait a minute, why did you call 911? She was like, well, she stole from me, is what the woman had said. And it was from what I remember, it was a black woman and a white woman. And I can't remember which one had actually called 911. The cops show up and they're like, why did you call 911? She's like, well, she stole from me. He's like, well, what? Okay. And then they realized one of them had, because they had to separate them, and one of them had, I guess, like, like a crack pipe on them. And apparently it was like residue in it and all this stuff. And that's illegal. So, and it was on, apparently it was on the person, the person of the woman who had called 911. And they're like, you can't have this. You know, crack's illegal. So she called police because that woman had stole her crack rock. And the phrase that she had used in defense of herself was, ain't stealing illegaler. I was like, I can't even. This is going to be like a Paul Bunyan type of story in the future for children. I don't know. It's just something else. Anyway, I love that show. And I also watched the Dog the Bounty Hunter. I used to watch that too. And I knew his late wife. We would talk every now and then on social media. Like, I never met her or anything. Like, we weren't besties, but every now and then. And he follows me on social media. I just like that kind of, you know, the chasing and the apprehending of the criminals and that. Anyway, long story short, I wish that I had tweeted this. This is not my tweet. I wish I had. And it's so good. Apparently the FBI they don't know where the hell this guy is. And apparently they missed some opportunities to apprehend him, if I am reading reactions to this case correctly. So you got Dog the Bounty Hunter down there now. And he apparently is trying to track him through the brush. They found like a camping site yesterday and all kinds of stuff. And so I saw this tweet and I just about died. It said, well, one thing is true. A big guy in a loud Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned down to his belly button with waist length bleach blonde hair gelled up 6 inches is less obvious than the feds trying to be undercover. And yet Dog the Bounty Hunter's probably closer to getting him than the feds are. Oh, man. This is something else. I'm rooting for Dog the Bounty Hunter to get this guy. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I want to see the tackle, the whole nine yards. I watched him as he tracked some dude on foot one whole afternoon in raining bound.
Oh yeah.
That was crazy. Make fun of the mullet, but he'll tackle you.
You still see his show. God bless America. Running, you know, reruns everywhere. Love that show.
God bless America.
And the tweet that tweet is replying to.
Mm-hmm.
Is how I feel.
Yes, if Dog the Bounty Hunter finds Brian Laundrie, we need to have a serious discussion about defunding the FBI.
Yes,
I totally agree with that. I mean, you had all these little Olympic gymnasts, bless their hearts. They were going, Larry Nassar's a kid toucher. What the hell is he? They're telling the FBI this. They're like, here's our evidence. Nobody did anything for years. They don't know where Brian Laundrie is, but hell's bells. Were you at a food truck near the Capitol on January 6th? Oh, boy. The feds want to talk to you. Apparently now they're reaching out to people who are at the January 6th rally. What is it? The something, the vote. I can't even remember right now. It's Friday and I still have the Cops theme song running through my head.
Was that the September 18th?
Something, the vote, protect the vote, audit the vote. I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently they started reaching out to those people. Can you believe that you remember they milkshake ducked the Marine in Kabul who lifted the baby over the wall? Did you all see this? The U.S. Marine who pulled a baby over the wall at the Kabul airport is under investigation because he just happened to appear at a rally in Georgia with Donald Trump. He didn't do nothing wrong. He wasn't in uniform. He wasn't doing any of that. But that now they're looking for a partisan political activity. You mean like Mark Milley with Nancy Pelosi? Partisan political, private, personal political activity. Lance Corporal Hunter Ian Clark. I'm telling you that I do believe that they are going after military members. You want to know my personal thought? This is just me. I go by Occam's razor. From everything that I've seen, if you were going to try to eliminate from the military the participation of individuals who are conservative and who adhere to the Constitution and wouldn't carry out ridiculous orders on behalf of the state, this would be the way you do it. So, U.S. Marine, and another Marine, Lance Corporal Hunter Clark, He was the guy who rescued the baby at the Kabul airport, and now he's under investigation for partisan political activity. What? Yeah. He was not in uniform. He did not campaign for a candidate. He did not say that service members should follow a political party or vote a particular way. He just went up and, I mean, it's on video. He just went up and Trump was like, thank you for what you do. He was just like, thank you for supporting me. That was it. He didn't get up there and electioneer at all. But he appeared with Trump. So it looks like he would be a challenge to our agenda. I am really glad that my oldest son chose not to. Those who serve God love you. But I've had everyone from Kurt Schlichter to a number of my friends, some have been on this program, some of them are very well-known veterans, who said that 10 years ago they would have no problem saying, yes, you can trust the people for the most part up at the top. That hasn't changed a whole lot. But, you know, yes, you know, they will have your back, you can serve, et cetera, to now. No, there's a lot of discussion that is not on the airwaves, television and radio, from what I've heard from people who have served. It's pretty interesting. And I'm just looking at it from the outside perspective, but there's been a lot of stuff that's changed in the past decade or so. But this is crazy. Going after people in the military just because Trump thanked him at a rally. You've got to be kidding me.
How dare you?
But hey, Antifa is fine. Larry Nassar's fine. Jeffrey Epstein's fine. Hell, they can't find nobody else. Gosh, please let Dog the Bounty Hunter find this guy, tackle him on camera. I want that to happen so bad. Look, I know it's not my birthday no more, but can I please have that as a birthday present? I want to see that mullet fly through the wind. I want him to tackle that dude. I mean, and I want that to all happen on camera. It is not my birthday anymore, but it's just a couple days past. Please, that's what I want for my birthday. Just so I can say, we need to defund the FBI and go after all this other stuff to make them accountable and just have him run it. He does a better job. All right, you quote me on that. I would rather have Dog the Bounty Hunter run the FBI than anybody there right now. Yes, I will fight you on that. The end.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Who in the world? Shakira says wild boars attacked her and stole her purse in Barcelona. I feel like this is a King of the Hill. You stole my purse. She said two wild boar attacked her when she was in the park and they took her purse. She told her 70 million Instagram followers this. She did get her bag back, but they said they were, maybe they were Antifa? I don't know. Anyway, they said she was walking in a park in Spain with her son, and she had a series of videos posted on Instagram. She's okay. Her son's okay. She said, but they just destroyed everything in her bag. That's kind of crazy. Wild boar. I wonder if they were... It makes me hungry. I'd like some bacon. The moon is leaving us. I would, too. The moon's like, man, y'all are nuts. I'm out. The Atlantic has a piece said the moon is drifting away from us, and each year our moon moves distinctly farther from Earth, at about an inch and a half. It's almost impossible to actually measure the change in distance. And they said the no matter what's done, it's over many millions of years, it's going to continue happening. I wonder what that's going to do to like the tides and all that stuff. And alpaca feces is very valuable to homesteaders. What? Yeah, this is something like in Maine that they're crazy about. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And that's why we recognize our responsibility to do more. And that's what we are announcing here today. A statewide requirement for in-person instruction for all of our children to add to a well-established list that currently includes 10 vaccinations and well-established rules and regulations that have been advanced by the legislature for decades to add to that list the vaccination for COVID-19. We intend to do that once the FDA has fully approved the vaccine, which will give us time to work with districts, give us time to work with parents.
So Gavin Newsom, who is now, and welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Gavin Newsom is now making these vaccinations for kids to come back to school mandatory. He tweeted that California is going to require our kids to get the COVID vaccine to come back to school. It'll go into effect following full FDA approval. Our schools already require vaccines, blah, blah, blah. Gosh, what a stupid, illogical. It's just an illogical comparison. It is. It's such an illogical comparison because those have been out for forever. And they have long-term studies. You know the efficacy, and they actually inoculate. How many people do you see walking around with polio? Covered in measles. No. There's vaccines and therapeutics. There's something that transfers immunity and something that does not. So he's mandating that kids to go back to school, they're going to have the vaccine. But here's the kicker. The teachers and faculty won't. Newsom will not require California teachers and staff to get vaccine, even though their students will have to get the jab. This is coming from the San Francisco Chronicle. You know why? Because kids can't donate to his campaign. Hashtag science. So the kids can't donate my campaign. Oh, yes, that means they're totally going to get the Rona. So they got to get the jab. By the way, the fact that you can, that special interests can literally pay their way out of the mandate, as has happened in California with others, is ridiculous. That's, I mean, it's not science. It is not science at all. I'm telling you what, maybe some of these kids in California should unionize. Right. Just saying.
He's mimicking what the Biden administration is doing, where members of Congress don't have to get it. The U.S. Postal Service doesn't have to get all these exceptions to their rules they want to impose on the rest of America.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at, I'm saving this link. And, so I can put this in. I want you to read this and see and compare these two because it's so ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. So the teachers and faculty do not have, and they're not going to. So a couple of different. So some say teachers and faculty will not have to get them. Teachers and faculty don't have to get them yet. They're never going to have to because Randy Weingarten in the American Federation of Teachers, AFT, they have been pushing and lobbying these elected officials to not mandate that these teachers get them because science. I'm telling you, this is not about science. If you're going to, and when he says, well, you know, he writes in his tweet, this is that it's about keeping our kids safe and healthy. He says because vaccines work. So yes, those vaccines work, but how does the other one that doesn't work work? And I'm saying it's not working because you said that it was going to end it and it didn't. I would have been totally cool if they would have come out and said, look, we didn't realize that this thing was going to mutate this damn fast. And we have to perform genetic sequencing. And we've got to make sure that any subsequent injections, any subsequent vaccines that are developed, that they actually can prevent transmission instead of just reducing the severity of symptoms, which basically means it's nothing more than a therapeutic. We're going to get on it, but it could help a lot of people with reduced severity of symptoms. So if you want to get this still, you know, we'd encourage it. That would have been way better. But here's the thing with people like Fauci. In the Atlantic's piece, Noble Lies, So they recalled some of the interviews that he had given in the past, and I thought it was very telling about the authoritarian mindset. And that is, they did not want to offer the American people all those details. They didn't want to get into that nuance. And the reason that they didn't want to get into that nuance was because they didn't want you to ask too many questions because they just don't have time for that. It's just easier just to tell you to do it, you know, right off. That is like, that made their job so much harder because they thought that they were doing, I think some of them actually thought, some of them I think have statist intentions, But I think there were some who thought that maybe this was the easiest way to go about it. Just tell people you have to get it, even in spite of a lot of very interesting evidence and breakthrough transmissions and all this stuff. No, you just need to get it anyway. I think they felt that was going to be the easier way to go. Just make people do it and don't ask questions. Just shut up and do it, like how parents with their kids are dealing with them. But that's the problem. These aren't parents and kids. This is people in their government. And that wasn't, as it turns out, the best and easy way to do it, because it prolonged everything. And then it made people less trustful of their government. And then they were shamed for it because the government decided that instead of explaining that they were dealing with something that they, you know, to give them the benefit of the doubt, I'm not sure I'm inclined to do that anymore, that they're dealing with something that's unknown and they had no idea how to handle. So please bear with us. And this is what we've discovered. Instead of just coming out and saying this stuff, they decided to be heavy-handed and use a heavy-handed approach. And now look what's happening. That was not the easier way to do it. Not at all. So dumb. And yet, here we are. By the way, speaking of COVID and some side effects, Kane.
Yeah.
This sounds like a really bad high school metal band name. Scientists in Japan have reported a case. It was published in the BMC Infectious Diseases Journal that the patient, and I am quoting from this, seems to have developed restless anal syndrome after suffering from COVID. Now, the scientists say, Jerusalem Post also wrote of this, that the 77-year-old experienced insomnia and anxiety while infected with the virus, and then several weeks after began to experience, I don't even know what restless anal discomfort is. What is that?
I've heard of restless leg syndrome.
Yeah, where does that mean? Is that when you got to move your legs?
Yeah, where you have
okay,
to move
Okay, does
your
that
legs
mean he's got to move?
Like a spasming.
What is
colon?
Is he moving his?
Yeah.
That?
Anus?
The crater? I don't know. I don't know what else to call it. I'm trying to think of a way that it just sounds worse.
His planet?
No, that's
Uranus.
Yes.
Okay.
But his.
Right.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means.
I would imagine it's a spasming colon of some sort.
Colon. But they didn't say restless colon syndrome.
Right.
So the or I like Juan, third eye. There you go. That's Juan dies. Juan, you got to learn. When you put that in Slack, I'm going to say it on air. but for real, though. So they did a colonoscopy. And they said the 77-year-old man. No, really, because like you want to
call
know
it
about
an
this,
analoscopy.
Well, where do you got that? Well, because it's just that's the front door. Well, a door.
The front door.
What is happening, Steve? Help! Help!
Oh,
we're drowning.
My gosh. It's Friday.
I don't know what this is. It's
I like
restless.
Third eye,
that. Yeah, that works. Thanks. Yeah, that was. It was like when.
Oh gosh.
Oh gosh! I hate this band so bad. I hate this band.
Poo, 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 poo.
This is what he's saying while he's in the office.
It's the restless this band syndrome. Restless anal syndrome. So they said that several weeks after he got out of the hospital, he began to have restless, deep, you know what, discomfort. And it was right there in the perineal region. Oh, I like that. That sounds like a beautiful place to vacation in Spain. The perineal region. And so they said the following feature. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. The following features were observed, some things that I'm not going to say, but it got worse at night. And then, oh my gosh. This was the second article that I had. I had this first article linked, and the second article that I had got into detail. So there was some not fun stuff happening with this dude's area, and that's not great. And so they said that it's a restless leg syndrome variant. Can you just get that with things? I don't know, man. Whew. So that happened. What else we got? Jeez. Oh, Man alive. I'm not going to put that one in your prep. How about that? You can find that on your own. Good night. I'm not going to do that to you. Some of you out there are going to be like, but wait a minute. I really want to know. What if I have it? You probably don't. If you have to ask, I bet you don't. Just saying. So we had talked to, I'm going to make sure that I have this interview up. It'll be in the newsletter, but it's up on YouTube already, the interview with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Schiller's parents, Stu Sr. and Kathy Schiller. I'll have that up. And they had just gotten information that apparently there's going to be a pretty big, they're going to throw the book at him, apparently. So, good heavens. And we're going to follow that story. But someone had said to me, and I disagreed with it, and I'm being real cool about it. I mean, you can disagree. We can disagree civilly. But someone was trying to say, oh, well, you know, he repeatedly and publicly criticized his chain of command and violated a direct order to stop. That's the thing. No one is denying that. But the point is that you're ignoring the lack of a total accountability. He's a lieutenant colonel. He's got people whose lives depend on him. And if his direct orders are reckless and they're getting people killed, look, I'm a civilian. I don't know if there's like a whistleblower protection for people in military that's similar to what civilians do. I don't know. But I think that if there has to come a time where if wrongdoing continues to happen and it's getting people killed, the military leadership, and I've heard tons of veterans, some of them who have got more experience than you can shake a stick at, more deployments than you can shake a stick at, that works too. Oh, jeez.
Let's be careful.
Shut up. I hate you right now. You sent that link to me. You did this. Let me get back to this point. Getting off topic here. My point is that these guys, the upper echelon of leadership, they've got to be held accountable. Especially when, and this guy's not he's not like a complete no credential subordinate. I mean, he's a lieutenant colonel who has people depending on him. And from what I understand, you know, your officers also can kind of help hold you accountable. Now, you can criticize the forum and all that stuff in the manner, but I do think that we're at the point where we are dedicated to truth and saving lives, not protocol and process, especially when the protocol and process is no longer actually protecting people, but actually making it to where it's protecting the people who are endangering others. That's my point. And to compare it to Vindman is illogical, because what Vindman did is he repeatedly leaked classified readouts of a president's phone call with people who were unauthorized. And he had said in his own testimony that it was a group of people. Now, if he was concerned, there is a process that he could, like, and it was, he could have followed a whistleblower protocol. He was serving in the capacity of NSC. And there was you meet with senators, you meet with, what is it, the Senate Intel Committee, you meet and you register your complaint, and that's how you pursue it. Now, if you can show me that there's a different way that would have been just as effective for Scheller, I'll hear you. But it's not a comparison, because Vindman really did. And I don't say this with malice or anything. I mean, he really did. He violated the law. He violated USC 7980. He leaked classified readouts to unauthorized sources. And the other thing, too, for those who say, oh, well, he was never, you know, he wasn't court-martialed. Well, it's easy to say that he violated no laws when you have a corrupt leadership that doesn't hold him accountable for what was a clear violation of law. That's it. We're at a time when people are saying because the corrupt are not acting, because the corrupt aren't being held to account, then there must not be any corruption. And that's used to continue to justify and excuse not just the corruption, but also excuse your responsibility as a member of this republic from calling it out. And that's wrong.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
A friend of mine was making a point about how it was on this day in 2017 you had the Vegas shooting. at the Country Music Festival. And it's still, with all of this, there's still so many things that we do not know. There are so many things that we do not know, you know, here 4 years later. I don't know his motivation. Don't know who broke into his home after the shooting. We don't know what happened to his laptop. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. And the other thing is that, you know, he could have afforded, he could have paid for the NFA, the tax stamp, and gotten an NFA fully auto, firearm if he'd wanted to. He was rich. He used, a friend of mine noted, it was a bump stock and a YouTube gimmick. It poorly simulates full auto. There's a lot of questions there that we still do not know. And no one asked questions. It's a memory hold. It's so weird. Kane, sorry, today's stupidity.
It was Terry McAuliffe. He was doubling down on how parents should not have a say in their kids' education. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? We birth them. When you can squeeze a child out or contribute to the raising of that child, then, you know, just and we pay taxes. That does it for us this Friday, folks. God bless. I'll be back with you Monday.